Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Nostalgia Mixtape, Season 3.
Hosted by yours truly, Samantha Shroud. So let me tell you a little bit about today's guest, Lenora. She's a vibrant singer and songwriter from the south side of Houston who made a fan out of me with her 2019 single, Relax, which sounds just like a crisp drink on a hot summer day. We met not long after the song's release at an event honoring Houston's culture leaders and thought it was cosmic that our work had brought us together so organically. She soon built up a huge following on Instagram, and the rest is history that's really still being written. I think you'll connect with Lenora for her vulnerability, her honesty, and the way she understands the connection between her past and her present. And also, she sings really, really well, so there's that too, and you'll get to hear that in her conversation. So please, join us as she walks us through the memories of her childhood in the neighborhood of Hiram Clark, opens up about the loss of her beloved grandmother, RIP, and the time she was in for a serious whooping for her the love letter that she wrote to none other than everyone's favorite 90s R&B singer, Ginuwine.
Where are we?
So, we're in Hiram Clark.
Okay.
Hiram Clark, Texas.
Where is that?
That's on the south side. It's like kind of by Pearland, in between like Pearland and 90. But my neighborhood is like off of Alameda, so It's a little more rural. I was in denial about living in the country for a long time because, you know, Raya Muse, the first time we worked together was like the end of 2017, and she's like a storyteller, so when we first met, she was like, I just want to, you know, let's just work, let's just, I'm interested in knowing your story and, you know, hopefully telling an accurate story. And so I was like, okay. So she's like, let's go back to your home, you know, which I still live there now. So it was personal. And so she comes, you know, to do the fitting first, and she was like, you live in the country, girl. And I was like, no, I don't. Like, I live in the hood in the city. Like, and she's like, no, this is the country. So I was like, no, I don't. But then I realized, I was like, man, I do see people riding horses at least once a week, like in front of my house, on the streets, you know, in the neighborhood. There are roosters and chickens right behind my house that crow. I told you, they used to crow every morning, like 5 a.m.
That was your alarm clock.
As an alarm clock.
Wow.
Then I guess they started multiplying because they crow and cock-a-doodle-doo at all times of the day and night. It's crazy. Like, and then they'll like congregate in front of my house when I'm going to work. It's like, it looks like a mama rooster and like little chickens and chicks. It's actually really cute. It makes me happy. But yeah, I knew then that I live in the country. I do. Okay. I mean, so Hiram Clark is, like I said, where I live. It's like pretty rural. And the interesting thing about my neighborhood is that, so my grandmother raised me. So her name was Lenora as well, also. And she was just like a brilliant woman, you know, like an entrepreneur. Had like two successful businesses, you know, when I was a kid, Four Times newspaper, which is still, you know, around now. It's 61 years old. And then she also had a club called the Dollhouse, like a country club off of Holmes Road. And the thing is, well, her nickname was Doll, so that's why it was called Dollhouse also, which is pretty iconic to me. But everybody used to go to the Dollhouse, like from Aretha Franklin to Richard Roundtree, Richard Pryor.
Wow.
Like, it was a big deal because she loved to, like, entertain guests and stuff. But anyway, she's, like, you know, like a legend icon at that time, you know, in the community and stuff. But anyway, so she had, you know, three homes in that neighborhood. Well, still. But she passed in 2010. So we do. So her house was on one street. On the other street, my auntie, which is her daughter, had, you know, a house on the very next street where she raised my cousins, who I call my brother and my sister because we all just pretty much, you know, grew up together. Mm-hmm. And then we had a rental property on the next street over. So it was three houses in the neighborhood. And then even the family who lived in that rental, you know, property, you know, like we knew them, we knew everybody in the neighborhood. So it was like a really like a familial kind of, you know, vibe growing up. The interesting thing was like all my friends in the neighborhood, like I couldn't do anything. Like my mama was strict. So they would get to like go to the park and like play basketball, be gambling, smoking, hanging out at the corner store, trapping, you know what I mean? And my mom was like, absolutely not. You can't pass the speed bump. So
I could not. That was your kingdom, was just
right,
from
the driveway and then the speed bump. And then like at one point she let me go to the stop sign.
Whoa.
And so I
remember.
How
old were you when you got to go to the stop sign?
I think I was like 13.
Wow.
I was like 12 or 13.
Okay.
And then I remember one time I like rode my bike on the next street over real quick. And my, no, she wasn't my homie. This little girl, she was a hater. She was like, look, she on the, she passed the speed bump.
Yes. Oh my God.
I was like a really extra kid. Cause like my little sister, who I told you was really my little cousin, she would be hooping, like she would be playing basketball. She was like a really, really like cold basketball player at like 6 years old. So she would be playing with like grown men and stuff in front of the house, right? Because she couldn't pass the speed bump either. So we'll have a goal set up, and then she would be hooping against these men at like 6 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
And I would come outside, I kid you not, and bring a chair because I was like a girly girl. I never played sports. So I brought a chair and put it on the sidewalk. Okay. With a purse and lip gloss and would cross my legs and watch them play like I was at a basketball game courtside. Like, it was so funny to me. Like, to think about it now, like the visual of me going outside with a little purse. I was like 13. A little purse crossing my little legs with lip gloss. That's so, so funny. But yeah, I never played sports either. I was just like tall for no reason.
Okay, so what did you... Since you only had to the speed bump and eventually the stop sign, how did you entertain yourself as a kid?
Well, I did most of like my friends and like my life, they weren't in my like neighborhood. Like it was school and you know, arts and stuff like that. So most of the time, you know, we spent most of our time at school. And then from there, like I said, I was in like choir and I was always in choral stuff and like you know, summer programs, AFA, American Festival of the Arts, stuff like that. So a lot of times I was, you know, making music, or not making music, but singing in choirs, singing classical music, stuff like that. And then in terms of, like, entertainment, I would go to the movies. we used to go to the movies just to like walk around, go to the mall, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Celebration Station. Do you remember
Classic.
Celebration
I do.
Station?
I do. Wow.
It was incredible.
Wow.
We would do that because going outside was a thing. Like that was an event for me. I told you. Mm-hmm. I had my lip gloss in my purse for that as well.
Mm-hmm. If you were at home, what would you be doing?
I'd like, be like watching TV, okay. trying to cook.
Okay.
I had an easy bake oven.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like my grandpa, he I was the only person he would tell he loved. Like he was
wow.
not a very sentimental or affectionate like person with everybody else.
Wow.
But for some reason, like with me, he was like that. And
yeah.
so, and keep in mind, he was married to Mama, like my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wasn't my blood grandfather, but he was by marriage. And they were,
okay.
that he was all the only grandfather I knew because they got married like a year before I was born. But he would let me do anything I wanted. So I would
okay.
like put barrettes in his hair.
Aww.
And he had like a big bald spot on top of his head.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just be barrettes on the side and the back.
Great. Wait, what was his name? What was his grandpa's
name? His name was James.
Grandpa
and what's funny
okay.
is I never called him. When I refer to him, I say grandpa, but I never called him grandpa. I always called him James.
Okay.
But I had this easy bake oven, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
And I would take bread, like
mm-hmm.
white bread,
mm-hmm.
and put like cake icing on it and
mm-hmm.
sprinkles.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in the easy bake oven and give it to him, like present
wow.
it to him like it was a chocolate cake.
Wow.
And he would eat it.
He would just play
so
right
man,
along.
He would actually, he wouldn't eat the whole thing.
I love this man already.
But he would eat it. God rest his soul. He would eat it and I would be like, how was it? He'd be like, delicious. Like, he kind of talked like Tony the Tiger too. It's like, I remember like being kind of embarrassed like as a kid because he was just such a peculiar man. But
mm-hmm.
like now I respect it so much because
mm-hmm.
and he just really didn't care. And then music, of course, how could I forget?
Mm-hmm.
I grew up playing a lot of music around the house, especially like being around grandparents. They
mm-hmm.
had the record players and like my mama had a crazy vinyl collection, but
oh,
she
wow.
was a big blues fan.
Oh, wow.
So we listened to a lot of, her favorite was Johnny Taylor.
Wow.
So we listened to a lot of Johnny Taylor, Little Milton.
I woke up this morning with tears rolling down.
Glenn, B.B. King, Little Milton, Buddy Ace. Like, I listened to a lot of blues growing up. Then we had a piano in there and an organ in the house. It was always music around the house. And then I took piano lessons as a kid,
okay.
but I quit because I was just, like, not wanting to do it. I,
okay.
like, literally
okay.
cried one day. It was just like, stop wasting your money. Like, I don't want to do it. And I should have never done that. I should have kept playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody say that when they stop playing, they
yeah.
get older and realize you would have been so much more lit
mm-hmm.
if I had that skill. But I learned like basic stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I would like pluck around on the piano at home. I did that. I spent a lot of time talking to myself, for sure.
Nice.
I still do that.
Nice.
So,
you're
especially
right
I was like
now.
An only child.
Yeah.
So that was shade. You're doing it right now. You're right. Listen.
I'm just kidding.
I can interview myself.
You're doing great. Can you tell me about about Genuine?
Yo. First of all, now as an adult, when I think about Genuine, I think about when you had him sing the lyrics to Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Hey, this your boy Genuine, man. We in Texas. And if you didn't know, now you do because I just now told you. And can I do some more? The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas. The prayer sky is wide and high, deep in the heart of Texas. 18 years in the making, it's your boy Genuine. I ain't stopped.
That is easily now one of my favorite Texas stories. Oh my gosh. Okay, no, but my story about Genuine, oh my God. So let me take you back to a seven-year-old Lenora.
Let's go.
I was in second grade, and I went to the Rice School, La Escuela Rice, Spanish Technology Magnet School, and I was in, I don't know, I think in class one day, and I wrote this letter in orange crayon because I loved Genuine.
Okay.
Like, I was a big Genuine, like, stan at, like, seven. And okay. I would be, like, dancing around in the kitchen in silk pajamas to, like, be like that. And I just loved him when I was a kid. So I wrote this letter in orange crayon, and it was, like, Genuine is so fine. Like, I want to kiss him. That was all it said. But I was seven.
Yeah.
And I put it in my backpack, and I went home. And then, like, the next morning, I'm getting ready to go to school. I'm, like, I wake up. I'm happy. Like, everything's all good. My mama, like, made breakfast. And she's, like, is pissed. And I'm, like, what's wrong with her?
Yeah.
She's upset. She was, like, because she would go through my backpack.
Oh, no.
Like, to, like, either put stuff in there. I don't know. Check homework. Make sure stuff was, I don't know. So she looked, and she saw the letter in orange crayon about Genuine.
Oh, no.
And she flipped.
Oh, no.
She was so mad. She was just like, when you get home, like, what did she tell me? She said, it's going to be a powwow. I was like, what?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That was bad.
Yeah.
So she was just like, yeah, like, it's going to be me and you. And I was like, man.
I messed up.
How could I be so stupid? Why would I leave it in my backpack? So the whole day at school, I don't know if you ever had this feeling or if you grew up getting whoopings, because I know it's, like, frowned upon now, but when you knew you was supposed to get a whooping, you went around, like, school, like, it was solemn all day. I was just like, man. And then I got home, and I was being extra sweet because I was like, I don't want to get a, you know, I don't want her to even, like, be more mad. So I was, like, being over the top sweet. And she just forgot.
Wow.
She forgot.
You see, we ain't trying to hurt nobody. But people trying to hurt us. But you know what? I'm just going to keep being me. That's all I can do in this lifetime. Check it.
Day after day, I continue to be.
I continue to be.
Same OG.
Check.
Even though I got my own CD, maybe even on TV.
Clap your hands, y'all.
There ain't no change in me.
What?
I can only be me. Though I might be on TV.
Clap your hands, y'all.
Cause I got my own CD.
If you feel me, what?
All you will ever see.
That
same OG.
And Timothy.
Even though I got my own CD.
Clap your hands.
On TV. Cause I got my own CD.
What?
All you will ever see.
That
same OG.
We are.
So I got spared. Because she was so busy, she would often forget things. So
amazing.
I got away with so much from the fact. I know it sounds terrible. And I know my mom is, like, looking down from heaven like, I ought to beat your ass right now.
I'm coming down there.
But so much stuff I would get away with for that fact alone because of she was so busy. Like, I remember, like, with report cards and permission slips and stuff. Well, not permission slips, progress reports. My grades were never a problem. It was my conduct. Because as you can see, I talk excessively. So
I can relate.
I would get in trouble for that. And so she would tell me, like, if you bring home, like, another, you know, pee in conduct, like, if your conduct poor, it's going to be a powwow.
Oh, man.
So I would like, when I would get it and I would see it, I'd be like, man. So what I would do is I would wait until she would like take me to the bus stop in the morning, and then like when the bus would pull up, I would like take my permission, I mean my progress report or report card out at the last minute and be like, oh, I forgot to give you this. I need you to sign it. If you don't sign it, I'm gonna get in trouble.
Oh, no.
So she would just sign it really fast.
Wow. Okay.
And then give it to me and be like, go, go.
Wow. So you had like a strategy of
sometimes
like,
that only works sometimes. Like you can't do it every time.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So there were times when that didn't work and I resorted to other things that were not successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my plans were thwarted. Yeah.
Well, you tried to, like, distract her or something?
Yeah, I would do that. Or even, like, if she would be, like, giving me a whooping or something, I would, like, be more extra. Like, I would, like, I never tried to run. I never was stupid enough to do that. But I would just, like, move around a lot, like, on the bed, like, to where she would have to exert more energy and be more tired.
Right.
Or I would, like... This is so bad. I would, like, scream, like, it just be, like, extra, so it seemed worse.
Right,
and
right.
then she'd stop, you know? Like,
yeah.
you feel bad.
Played
like,
it up a little bit.
I played it up.
I respect
I
that.
Turned on the theatrics and the dramatics, and I did what I had to do.
You did do what you had to do. But I'm glad in that specific instance you got away with the genuine love letter.
I did. And That's... then after that, like... I never saw Genuine the same.
He doesn't know what you went through.
He doesn't know what I went through. I was just like, I can't believe I almost got a whooping over this guy, you know? This man.
This guy. Jeez.
But he made up for it with the Deep in the Heart of Texas rendition of you. Single-handedly.
We got to do that with more people. That's
You got to. People who are not from Texas singing Deep in the Heart of Texas. Just from the lyrics alone, like, the melody is just subject to change. It's open for interpretation.
Right.
Open like
interpretation,
that.
Subject to change. I really appreciate the way you said that. You made a very wonderful album called Girls.
I appreciate that.
Put out a couple singles. One's called Relax, one called Cool. Red Flags. These are songs that we enjoy. But I've heard that there is a very Texas story about the Cool music video.
This is true.
Can you tell it?
Yes. So after we made... So Beans and Cornbread... Shout out Beans and Cornbread. Beans and Cornbread produced Relax. And then, like, Relax did so well that we were like, we need to do another one. Another one. So we got together, and then Cool was made. And we, like, cooked it up from scratch. It was really, really precious. And so after we finished the song, Riot Muse, who, of course, like, collaborates on everything with me visually. She's a genius. She was like... For Cool, like, I see this, like, very at-home vibe, like, very Texan, very, like, where you grew up, you know? So we end up, like, strapping an air mattress, like, blowing it up, strapping it to the back of my brother's truck, getting, like, sheets and clothespins and stuff and rope. And we go driving to this location we scouted close to my house. It's, like, this abandoned school. And it's like weeds and stuff, and, but it's like very country. And it, like right next door to it, like over this fence, is like a ranch. So we're getting some cool shots. It was like a magical day. Like we were convinced that like my mama's spirit was there that day also. Because her favorite color was green. And there was this green orb that kept like getting in all the shots.
Wow.
And it was just circling around me.
Wow.
And anyway, so after that we drive. She was like, you know what? I wonder if we can go like next door to this ranch and like shoot over there. And so I was like, well, let's just try. So we like drive over there and there's like this old saloon and then like a fence, but you have to like go through a gate to actually get to the ranch. But we could shoot in front of the gate where the old like saloon was. So we shoot some material right there. I like kind of lean on the fence because the horses and everything are behind me. And then there's this like man, he pulls up in a truck and I'm like, oh my God. And keep in mind, you know, every time like Ryan Muse and I shoot, she has me dressed in like briefs and panties and like lingerie and cowboy boots. So I'm like in front of this man's like ranch with like lingerie and cowboy boots on and like, what up? And yeah. He was just like, yeah, like I'm the owner of this like ranch.
Oh shit.
My name's Cedric.
Okay.
They told me y'all was shooting over here. So I had some cameras set up. I was like, oh my God, we gonna get shot. But he was just like, I'll show y'all the ranch if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows me this ranch, and it's so crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, I never knew what was back there. He has like stages, like two stages, like a whole band could set up.
Oh,
like,
wow.
There's like a couple houses he has, and one of them's like an old recording studio.
What?
This man,
what
like,
are the odds of that? That's
what
crazy.
Are the this yeah. man used to like run a like a record label or something. Him and his son,
wow.
And now like his son was just like chilling and like grilling meat and stuff. And so we like looked at it and we're like, "Yo, can we finish shooting the video back here?" And he was like, "Sure."
Wow.
They cleaned it up for us to shoot there, and yeah, we ended up shooting it on an iPhone. The rest of the video as well, like using the horses. Like the horses were so sweet. And it's like to this day, like my like everybody's like favorite music video of mine.
I get a bad rap cause they say I'm cocky fresh when it's really in their heads. I be chilling cause I'm thicker than a Snickers, moving brown just like some liquor. Maybe you could be the winner, take a shot. You say I'm gassed up like I never been down. You should never judge a book by its cover. Flip the page, come and see, come and lay up in these sheets. Maybe you the one to love me like no other. Maybe you could be just my type. Never know till you come, say hi. Tell me what's on your mind. Open up, baby, I don't bite. I'm cool, so cool, too cool.
So if we could go back and from that time period, from when you were a kid or a teenager, and visit like a really, really happy memory, like a memory that you maybe would go back to if you need to like, if you need a little like pick me up.
Okay.
What's running through your head?
I would say, you know what? It would probably be like our times in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like we had a house in Livingston.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go there like on weekends or summers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved like Livingston. She loved country life, like gardening and cooking. And my grandpa would be hunting and just stuff like that, fishing. We would do all of that, like take the boat out and go fishing.
Wow.
And just really like country, simple life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember like when both of them were alive, like just how simple things were, but how wonderful they were. And like I remember we would have these like Saturday night dances, and like my grandpa would take me, and like they would play like the only hip hop or R&B song they would play was Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's like all they had. I'm lying. And Getting Jiggy With It by Will Smith.
Classic.
Those were the
classic,
only ones they had. So when they would play Yeah and Getting Jiggy With It, like me and my little sister would turn up. We would have those white people looking at us like we was Destiny's Child. Okay? We were like, we would turn up. And they were just like in awe because we would just be like, you know, dancing. And it was just so simple. But the Saturday night dance was like in this park. It was like in this like state park. So it was so country. And we would just go out there and like wear whatever we wanted to wear. They would let us like wear whatever we wanted. So like we'll wear like a little psychedelic like sparkly top and some jeans and some shoes that don't really match. You know, just simple, you know, watching scary movies with my grandpa in the living room. And like I remember we would watch those, I forgot the name, I think The Hills Have Eyes.
Okay.
And it's like the cannibal, it was wild.
Mm-hmm.
But we watched like there are like a million of those. Like, mm-hmm. there's a 1, 2, 3, 4. He sat up and watched all of them with us.
Wow.
Like, me and my little sister. Like, three or four of those movies back to back.
Wow.
At least three.
Wow.
And at the end of the night, we were so scared because we were in the country. And
you're like, the hills do have eyes.
Right. By the nearest house is like down the street.
Yeah.
And so we were like, bruh, like, what if the cannibals come eat us? But I just, that was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could just walk, you know what I mean? Like, up and down the streets. We didn't have to like abide by a speed bump or mm-hmm. a stop sign. It was just so simple, you know, and playing mm-hmm. with worms, like in the soil, you know, as you use for bait to go fishing, we would like play with the worms, and
mm-hmm.
that was so much fun.
Let's try to find a time when you realized what your passion is in life.
Hmm. Yeah. Like, I feel like I've known that I could sing or I would sing and I did sing
mm-hmm.
since I was like a really small kid.
Okay.
I was like probably like 4 or something crazy. They
wow.
said I always was like that. I was always extra.
Wow.
I would always put on like little plastic toy heels or even my mama's heels.
Wow.
And then like entertain people. Like when she would bring people to the house,
mm-hmm.
like I would go get dressed up and then come out and be like, okay.
Yeah.
So sit back. I'm about to perform.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
Very extra. So I've always like known that. And I feel like honestly,
mm-hmm.
so like we didn't talk about this yet, but like I told you, like my grandmother raised me, but it was like really a whole village. Cause like I told
mm-hmm.
you, my auntie was on the next street
mm-hmm.
over. And when it came to like school and stuff, like my auntie took care of all of that. So like,
mm-hmm.
my mama, my grandmother, who I call my mama, she would be the busy one, like, right? So she was running the businesses, but her favorite thing was, like, being a mom. So, like,
mm-hmm.
to her kids and then obviously to me, she would be the one that, like, took us, like, to do fun stuff, right? Like, to, like, Discovery Zone and,
mm-hmm.
like, Astroworld. Or, like, she would come on all the field trips. That was, like, her thing. So my biological mom... And my biological mom's name is Constance.
Mm-hmm.
So Constance and my auntie's name is Karen. So
mm-hmm.
Constance and Karen, they're sisters, but like literal opposites.
Mm-hmm.
Like my bio mom, she's like super eccentric, very artsy, just a wild child. And then like my auntie, she's more like conservative,
mm-hmm.
Just like more of a homebody. She was more like that. So... Yeah. And so, like, because Constance was more, like, on the wild side,
mm-hmm.
they were, like, harder on me. And
okay.
so they, like, were like, hey, we don't want to, you know, we don't want her to be wild.
Mm-hmm.
So they were a little bit harder on me. And also, I feel like my auntie was, like, already annoyed with her sister growing up.
Yeah.
So when she would see me do stuff like that, like, get dressed up to perform for my, like, mama's friends or whatever, she would be like, oh, here she goes, like being extra, like,
aww.
You know, whatever. And I realize now, because I would still do it, let
mm-hmm.
me be clear, like I would
mm-hmm.
still be like, whatever,
mm-hmm.
y'all still gonna get the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize now, like as an adult, I'm like, I feel like if that energy was like harnessed more, like, you know, who knows what could have happened? Because I was definitely interested in like TV and film and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that, but like no, they didn't know anything about that. They were
yeah.
like busy running a business and
yeah.
stuff. So, you know, I settled for the performances for like her friends, which were like some legit friends. So
yeah.
I'm like, you know, she had legit friends.
Yeah.
But I loved that. I always loved that rush of like performing for people. And what's crazy is I think as a kid, I was more fearless, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I was never nervous. And then I think, not to like throw, you know, my auntie under the bus, because she's a lot like my mom now too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially after my mama passed away in 2010, we got a lot closer. So I
mm-hmm.
refer to her sometimes, or most times, as my mom as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that hearing that so much, like that's extra or that's whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then not being around anyone who was like me in my family, because like my brother and sister played sports. Like
mm-hmm.
my sister, I told you, was like a basketball star, and then my brother was like a football star, and
mm-hmm.
mama was a businesswoman, you know, Amy's like a mom. So I didn't have another like creative person to like fuel my passion like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just me. So I think a lot of times that, like, as I got older, even though I stayed in music, like, I, mm-hmm. you know, started studying opera when I was, like, 13 and all that, mm-hmm. I still was, like, more self-conscious, more nervous, like, more... Mm-hmm. I would do it, but I still had those, like, am I good enough thoughts in my head, doubtful, you know, mm-hmm. That I just... am like starting to get out of my own way now, you know, like as of recent, mm-hmm. and just addressing that and being like, hey, so I think this is when those, you know, when I started feeling this way, or, you know, kind of assessing myself, mm-hmm. rather than just being fearless. And yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. When you were a kid and you would do those performances,
mm-hmm.
do you remember any of like the songs that you would sing?
Oh yeah.
What would you sing?
So the song that like shaped me wanting to sing forever,
okay.
was I'm Going Up Yonder. I don't okay. know if you know this. It's like a mm-hmm. Like a church song,
okay.
a gospel song.
Okay.
And so I went to this like pre-K school or whatever, mm-hmm. called All God's Children. It was a private school,
mm-hmm.
and it was a Christian school. And for our kindergarten graduation, mm-hmm. we were doing this song called I'm Going Up Yonder. And like the mm-hmm. whole kindergarten class was like backing me or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I got picked to do the solo.
Oh, wow.
So I took it home and I was like, you know, I told my auntie, like, because she was the one that would always coach me for everything, like through a song, like a solo or something for school. I would always come to her, because the other odd thing is everybody in my family could sing.
Okay.
They're just not singers. Like my little okay. sister can sing, my auntie could sing, like they would sing in church and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to her and I told her, like, I'm leading this song for kindergarten graduation.
Mm-hmm.
So she's working with me on it. She's like, now when you do this part, like when you do the last, you know, I'm going up yonder. She was like, I want you to growl and go, I'm going up yonder.
Whoa.
Right? She okay. was like, that's going to bring the house down.
Okay.
So I'm doing the song, you know, I'm mm-hmm. like, I'm feeling it. And I yeah. realized how I felt when I did that. That was my first time singing alone in front of a crowd. And I was probably like, what, like six?
Wow.
And I was doing five, if anybody asks you where I'm going. And I think at that point, that's when, like, people knew, like, oh, okay, this kid can sing. Yeah. She's on pitch or whatever.
Yeah.
So they were excited and they're clapping.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did the I'm going up yonder,
mm-hmm.
the whole, like, auditorium, like, stood up and,
wow.
like, went wild. And they were, like, clapping and, like, wow. screaming. You know, like, that's how, like, a Baptist church is, like,
yeah.
the feel of that.
Wow.
And I just, like, looked around and I was like, so this is what fame feels like. This is amazing. I want to feel this forever.
Wow, I just got goosebumps thinking about that. That's
so that shaped, wow. I always talk about it. Literally, I remember my first bio that I ever wrote for mm-hmm. myself as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about that moment mm-hmm. of, like, the thing that made me know, like, I want to do this, you mm-hmm. know? Just, like, the feeling that I saw that everybody got.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point I thought it was, like, the gratification of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really, like, what it made people do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, like, it stirred something in their spirit to mm-hmm. see a kid believe in themselves like that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, like, that's why even now I chase that feeling as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Just the feeling of being a child again. Like, I'm really in tune with my inner child, because I think it's so important to have that, because
mm-hmm.
whenever I'm in that headspace, I'm not scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, I don't even think to feel fear at all. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I just know to feel free. I do whatever feels natural and free to me to do.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, this is...
Wow.
This is some deep stuff that it's, like, evoking.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking about, you know?
Wow.
It makes me, like, so... I don't know. It kind of fills me with all kinds of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, thinking about these things, you know, when you say them aloud.
Mm-hmm. When was the last time you sang Going Up Over Yonder?
Going Up Yonder.
Going Up Yonder.
When was the last time? I never sang it again.
You never sang it again?
I never sang it again. I thought about that. Like, okay. I never sang it again.
Was
maybe
there,
I gotta revisit that.
Maybe you should. Is there, like, I'm just wondering because I know that you sing now professionally. Is there a song that you sang as a kid that you now sing as an adult?
Hmm. I feel like definitely. I'm just trying to think of what it is. But a lot of the songs I think that I used to sing as a kid, mm-hmm. I don't sing anymore, which is wild.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I used to always sing... But I just got to be free, free. By Denise Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Free. You don't know
you're
this
song?
You're
putting me on right now. You're putting me on right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't mean to put you on
it's
the spot
okay.
like
no,
that.
It's okay.
But
it's
a beautiful song. I remember like being a kid and people asking me to sing. And I'm like 8. And I start singing this like grown ass song. Because it's like the words, the first words of the song are, whispering in his ear, mm-hmm. my magic potion for love. Mm-hmm. Like, what you talking about a magic potion for love? Girl, you are 8. You are 7 years old at the YMCA. Like, what are you doing? But that's what I was saying.
Wow. Wait, tell me the name of the song again.
It's called Free.
Okay.
But it's like, it's such a beautiful song. And even yeah. now, like, I sing it, I really relate to that song mm-hmm. like more than ever, like right now in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like the words, like always just mm-hmm. do something to me. Cause like that's the ultimate goal is to like mm-hmm. be free. Like mm-hmm. whatever that means, like to feel free, to feel present, like to just be, yeah.
Wow. I just really like the image of you singing it as a kid and then
and then
singing
being
an
adult,
yeah,
yes.
That's really sweet to me.
It's, oh man, I would always sing that song. That's such a like random song for a child to sing. Like,
yeah.
Hey, can you sing? Yeah, I can sing. Sing something.
Y'all want to hear some Denise Williams?
Right. Y'all want to hear some Denise Williams? Who?
Nothing too good for us.
That's amazing.
I also got in trouble in fifth grade and got sent to lunch detention because we were supposed to be quiet and like line going to the next like whatever we were doing, class or whatever. And I was singing, "You can ring my bell, ring my bell." And they were like, "We told you to be quiet. Why are you singing Anita Ward, ma'am?" Like,
you're like, "We don't need the school bells. Just let me do it.
Then.
Let me do
the bells." I was 10 years old.
That's so funny.
I was such an old child because I was always around old people. Like, that's why. And that's why even now, like, I love all kinds of music, but I really, really love disco music. I've been into disco for like the past several years. I thought it was like a phase.
It's not though.
It's just, it lives inside of me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I love, love, love it. I love the feel of a good disco groove.
Yeah.
It does something to me every time. Because like disco music is the perfect music for me to spin to. Spinning is my thing.
Okay.
A lot of times I like to just go out to dance and like put my arms out and just do a good spin. You know?
Not everyone has a spin down. I don't have a spin down. I don't know if I have the balance for that.
It's not like a Michael Jackson spin. Let me be clear. It's
but
like
still.
I put the my like right foot down like as a like a little almost like a little stomp. To like balance myself and keep myself spinning, you know, and on my feet.
I think like probably the first song that made me feel like I could get into disco was I Feel Love.
Oh,
Donna Summer.
My God.
Yeah.
Do you know what that means to me that you just said it was that song?
What?
That's an incredible song.
It's one of the best songs.
It's one of my
I've
favorite
ever heard.
Songs of all time.
Yeah. I could listen like the like I want to hear
it's
the long version of it. You know
every
what I mean?
Time.
Every time.
It's it's so ahead of its time. It like that song is relevant today.
Yeah, like if it came out today, it would still sound.
It would still
like,
sound
fresh.
Yep.
Incredible.
I love me some Donna Summer. Like sometimes, like I think to myself, like what would Donna do? What would she say right now? And I don't know the answer to that, but I still like to think of what she would say or do, you know, in response to something that I hear. I love her.
Can you tell me about, and I think I might know what this is, but you might surprise me. If there's a time where you lost something or someone special to you, can you talk to me about that time and how you got through it?
For sure. Yeah. No, I'm glad we're talking about it because I've never like spoken about it publicly, you know. I made like a mixtape before and I like dedicated it to my mama or whatever, like a year after she passed, which was really fresh. And that's like the only time I've ever said anything. So I did like a spoken word poem or something. But anyway, so it was really hard because like the worst thing to me when I was growing up, the worst thing that could ever happen to me was like losing my mama. Because see, my grandmother, she raised me like since I was 2 days old. So when I would think about it, I would like, I don't know why, but every time I would hear a slow song as a kid, even if it wasn't like sad, I would think about losing her. I know that's weird because she wasn't sick or anything. She was like a very active person. But I would get very sad because and like overcome with emotions. And I remember like she passed in April 2010. So when I was home for, that was my freshman year of college. When I was home for winter break in December 2009, we went to Mama Nefa's to eat. That was her favorite like restaurant. She loved to get Mama Nefa's. And we had margaritas. I was definitely 18. We had margaritas and we got lit. We got lit and she started like talking to me about serious stuff. And she was just like, you know, if, you know, like if I pass, like this is like this and you know, this is yours and this is this and this is that. And I was like, Mama, like, I don't want to talk about that. And she was like, baby, we have to. You know, that's life. And I said to her, if something ever happened to you, I would kill myself. I wouldn't be able to live. Like, I wouldn't at all. Because we were so, so close. Like, it was just me and her in the house a lot. Because her marriage, like, to my grandpa, it was like rocky at best, you know. They never slept in the same room. Like, it was very distant. Like, a lot of times I felt like I was the only thing that kept them together. So a lot of times it would be me and her in the house, especially when he had his own place, you know. So it would just be me and her, and she was very, like, she was very affectionate, very, with her words, with her actions, like, always would kiss me, always, you know, would tell me I'm brilliant. We had a song, and it was Special Love by Johnny Taylor. And it was, in all her, you know, her stuff, her passwords and stuff, a lot of them would contain special love, because she would always say, to my special love, which was me, and she was my special love. And I remember after, like, right before she passed away, which was, it was April 10th, the night before, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I went to Loyola, New Orleans, and G-Eazy also went there with me. And so I would record at his house sometimes. He'd record me in his closet. And he had a show at the Republic the night before my mama passed, downtown. And we were going out, and I told my mama, like, yeah, we're getting ready to go out. And I think this was the year the Saints won the Super Bowl. So it was wild in the streets, like, in New Orleans. And she was always worried about me. She was like, you go to school in New Orleans, you need to be careful, blah, blah, blah. So she texted me, and the last thing she said was, please be careful. You know, if something, you know, were to happen to you, you know, I wouldn't be able to, like, you know, to live, or something she said like that. And she was just like, you are my life. And then she also told me, like, a couple days before she passed, she texted me and said, there aren't enough words in the Merriam-Webster dictionary to describe how much I love you. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Take your time.
So that Saturday morning, my brother, he also lived in Louisiana as well, because he went to school there too. So we were both, he was in Metairie, I was in New Orleans, which is like Pearland and Houston. So he was home for his friend's wedding. He was back home in Houston that weekend. And I was in New Orleans, like I said, and I woke up and my brother called me from my auntie's phone, his mom, from her cell phone. And he said, hey, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just waking up. It's, you know, Saturday morning. I went out last night. And he was like, okay, can you get on a plane and come home? And I knew that immediately something was urgently wrong, because my mama would always take care of my travel arrangements. I would never, like, go to, I don't know, I would never book my own plane ticket. So I was like, and I knew it was bad, but I still didn't want to ask, because I think deep down I knew. And I said, I can't fly, but I can drive, like that, like very just like confused. And he said, okay, I need you to come home now. And then he hung up. So I sat there for a minute in my room, like in my little twin bed, and I was like, what? And I didn't call my mama's phone, because I knew. And I was like, if I said, if something happened to her, then my auntie wouldn't have the, she wouldn't have the strength to call me. I know that about her, because her and mama were so close. They worked together for like 30 something years, live one street apart. You know, they're always together. They work in two places together forever. So I called her phone back, and then my brother picked up again, and he said, just come home now. And I hung up, and I just screamed. I screamed so loud. Like, I was just like, like, just screaming, because I knew. I knew. And I didn't even, like, ask. I didn't ask. So I literally packed what I can in a bag. I didn't barely pack anything, because I was so distraught. And then I got in my car, and I just was driving to Houston, and I was listening to The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, and there was this song, I don't know if you heard it, it's called Like the Water. It's you're just like the water. I just kept listening to that on repeat. For some reason, like, it was just on repeat, on repeat, on repeat. And I got pulled over in La Paz, in a little town right outside of New Orleans, because the officer said I was speeding. And he was like, you were going 80 in the 70. And I'm like, literally like shell shocked, like crying. And then I just like, I kept telling him, I was like, my mom died. My mom just died. My mom, because I kept like saying it out loud. And he was just like, your court date is June 6th. That's... Like, he didn't even like say anything to acknowledge what I said. And I realized, like, my brother told me later, like, a lot of people probably use excuses, so he didn't know. But I was like, you can tell when somebody's like legitimately like traumatized.
You can be a human about this.
Right. Like... I was literally traumatized.
Yeah.
So I keep driving, which is wild. And when that, when I'm driving, like, my brother was telling me that he was going to meet me somewhere. So he was like, I'm going to meet you here, like, stop at the state line. And then I stopped at the state line, and he was like, okay, I'm not going to get there in time. He was like, keep driving, like, stop in Beaumont or whatever. And so I ended up stopping in Beaumont because he told me, like, he told me this address or whatever. I guess I put it in. And I stop at this, like, motel, right? And he told me he was going to meet me there. And keep in mind, this is all, he's giving me fragments. And I still don't have the courage to ask him, like, if what I think is the worst thing that could ever happen to me happened. So he was like, yeah, I'm going to meet you there. So I pull over, and it's not him. It's, like, my family friend. Like, at the time, my best friend's mom, who was, like, an aunt to me. And then, like, my little sister comes out of the car. And she's riding with them. And she comes out of the car, and she comes over to me, and she's trying to, like, you know, kind of fester a smile up. And she looks at me, and I get out of the car, and she was like, Chelsea? She was like, no, she called me City. She was like, Mama died. Like, Mama passed away. And then I just, like, fell on the ground. And I was like, no, 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 no. Like, how? I just talked to her. She was not sick. I just talked to her. And I was just home the week before because of Easter. So she just packed, like, food in my trunk. And I remember the last time I saw her, which was the that Sunday before I came back to school. Which, yeah, I think that was the, what, the 4th of April. She, usually she'll, like, tell me bye in the driveway, give me a kiss on the lips, and I would, like, leave. But this time, she walked all the way down the driveway. We had a long driveway. And then she walked into the street and was, like, waving goodbye. And she stayed there to the point to where, like, I couldn't... Like, when I turned, that's the only time I couldn't see her anymore. Yeah. She watched me leave the street.
Yeah.
It was wild.
So she must have known.
She must have known.
Moving down the streams of my lifetime, pools of fascination in my sleep, cooling off the fire of my longing, warming up my cold within his heat, bouncing down the walls of inhibition, evaporating all of my fears, baptizing me into complete submission, dissolving my condition with his tears. It's just like the water. I ain't felt this way in years. It's just like the water.
She, I ended up finding out that, like, once I got home, my auntie was there, and she, like, hugged me, and it was just crazy. And she was like, we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And she ended up, we found out, like, she had a heart attack. So she literally, that Saturday morning, she was gardening, like always, and she went outside, and she was, you know, kind of doing her thing. And then she went inside of the house, and they think that maybe, the paramedics think she, must have, like, just collapsed and was trying to get, started having chest pains and tried to get to the phone. And she just kind of fell between the bed and just passed, you know, had a heart attack. So after that, it was tough. And I think that it took me a while to, I don't think you ever get over something like that, but you get through it. And I think that I was really, really sad all of college, you know, because it was just my reality changed. Mm-hmm. Everything that I knew changed. Mm-hmm. So I think I kind of got through it, I guess, but mm-hmm. I was really sad. I felt alone mm-hmm. a lot. Even with, like, people around me, I always felt alone. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think I didn't really... When I got, I guess, quote-unquote, like, through it to the point to where, like, I learned to live with it without it feeling like a gaping hole in my heart all the time, mm-hmm. I think it was when I had to accept a lot of things, a lot of family dynamics, a lot of hurt, mm-hmm. a lot of resentment, a lot of trauma. I had to accept it and not personalize it. Mm-hmm. And I think that once I was able to kind of compartmentalize those things, I wasn't as bitter anymore, mm-hmm. you know? There were a lot of things that I felt after my mama passed that were hard for me to deal with, that were a tough pills for me to swallow. Like, when she passed, a lot of people that didn't know us like that, they offered more support to my auntie because they were like, mm-hmm. that's her daughter. And then they put me kind of like, oh, you're her grandchild. Mm-hmm. And everybody that knew us knew I was her daughter, right, you know? Right. So that was tough. And then, you know, you have my auntie kind of like, I feel y'all, but this was my mom. And I'm like, I feel you, but that was my mom too. Because who am I supposed to feel that way about, mm-hmm. you know, besides her? So I think that once I realized, like, okay, what me and her had was our thing. Mm-hmm. No one else has to understand it. No one else has to know how I feel about it. Mm-hmm. But I was blessed to have that for 18 years, you know? I was blessed to be able to spend that time one-on-one with her, for her to comb my hair in the mornings, to take me to the bus stop, you know? Mm-hmm. But even now, you know, it's tough. It's been 11 years, but, like, I miss her. That's the hardest thing.
Let's take a water break. Let's take a water break. I'm gonna come give you a hug.
Okay. I know. It's, like, good. It's good. It's good. Grieving is such a touchy but, like, important topic. Because grieving is very individual. It's very unique. Everybody's experience is personal with it. Mm-hmm. And I think in the Black community, a lot of times, we're very private. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can imagine, like, certain family members, like, would freak out to know that I'm sharing thoughts like that. But I think it's so important because mm-hmm. a lot of people feel that way. You know, they feel so alone, so, you know, just in a dark space. And especially to say, like, it's been over a decade since that loss. And to say, hell, you know what? I miss this person. Like, I miss them. You know, mm-hmm. that's okay. It's going to be days that are still tough, you know, that you miss them. But I think the important thing is to remember and cherish the great memories. Like, there are so many unique memories I have with my mama that I just mm-hmm. hold on to forever, you know? And, like, I really hate that social media wasn't a thing like this in 2010, because I mm-hmm. like, if I had, like, videos and stories of her, mm-hmm. like, it would be, you know, a lot better for me, because I don't have a lot of, I can't, like, hear her voice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or see a lot of videos of her. We have, like, one video that's, like, really funny of her, but yeah, it wasn't like technology and social media, like, we weren't documenting everything with phones then, so it's kind of mm-hmm. like tough, but yeah, it's important. I mean, in life, it's life, you know, like mm-hmm. life is about, you know, loving and losses and getting through those things and still recognizing your purpose and your power. And it's like, I still allow myself, like, clearly to feel those ways and to express it and to cry, mm-hmm. sometimes to scream, you know? Mm-hmm. But I have to keep going. Like, that's what she would want, of course. Like, she believed in me so, so much. Like, she would be like, girl, my friend, she's, like, Magic Johnson's PR or whatever, and she knows Jay-Z, and mm-hmm. I'm just gonna walk up to Jay-Z and I'm gonna be like, you need to sign my granddaughter. Mm-hmm. And I was like, or she would say my baby. She mm-hmm. she never said granddaughter. And I was like, Mama, you can't do that. I'm sure it does not work like that. She was like, yeah, it does. I'm going to walk up to Jay-Z, and I'm going to tell him. Yeah. I was like, right. Yeah. But she had that much faith, like, for real, for real. So mm-hmm. I think, like, just remembering those things, like, clinging to the sweet, sweet memories, like, mm-hmm. that's a song. I need to write that down. Please. But clinging to those sweet memories is so, so important, you know, mm-hmm. because they shape you. They make, you know, they make you whole. They make you who you are, mm-hmm. all that stuff. I know that, honestly, that definitely shaped me as a person, mm-hmm. for sure.
It's good that you care so much about preserving her memory, because, like, that, I think, like, to me, I think that's some of the most important work we can do as humans is, like,
absolutely.
Preserving, like, the memories of
you know
what's
wild?
Special.
You know, my first name is Chelsea and my middle name is Lenora. Mm-hmm. I did a name change and I started going by Lenora to honor her,
yep.
so that her name could live on.
Yep.
And that's why I made that change. And, like, when people, you know, associate whatever I do with, you know, whenever I put it out and whenever I'm gone, I want them to say Lenora. Like, I want people to say her name, you mm-hmm. know, like, for as long as I live and even after, I want that name to continue to be, you know, said, to be remembered, to be cherished.
Those stories of the fun Lenora used to have out in the country, the trouble she got into on account of Ginuwine, her first performance at church, were all so vivid. I felt like I was right there with her, didn't y'all? And how about that, the epic standoff with Cedric, the guy who owns Treehouse Ranch? That really could have gone south, but it didn't, thank goodness, and we're so grateful for that. And how sweet is it, too, that she adopted her grandmother's name as her stage name? What a beautiful way to preserve her life and her memory, and to honor her. For that reason, Lenora will always be rooting for you. And until next time,
this has been another wonderful night by the campfire with the Nostalgia Mixtape, hosted by yours truly, Saman Ashrawi.
This episode was recorded by engineer Bob Vance at Wire Road Studios in the historic heights of Houston, Texas. Catch you next time.